Our Sacred Icons. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Our Sacred Icons. We all have sacred icons that we have in our heart and they have in our life. One icon is our mother and father, our mother and father. We think about our mother, and our mother is an icon in our life. We think about our mother as being a person that she was, loving, thoughtful, considerate, helpful, and sometimes a pain in the butt. But we don't allow ourselves to think that she was a pain in the butt, because that's not a nice thing to think about your mother. Mother, apple pie in America, God, those are traditional things that are icons. They're things that we have learned to worship, appreciate, delight in, respect, honor, and have an attitude about. Now, whenever we have an attitude about anything, we limit ourselves. Now, if we have an attitude about our mother, we're limiting our mother. We're limiting her in all of the magic that she was. We have an attitude that our mother would certainly never be sleeping with our father. You know, that would be just outrageous. That'd be just not proper. You know, my goodness sakes, how were you born as children? Well, that's another thing. But our mother would never be sleeping around with our father. And you see, those are icons that we had back in the 30s and 40s and maybe 50s, probably before that. And maybe some people still do today. But the thing is, these icons that we have, we worship them, and we feel that they are sacrosanct. They cannot be touched. They cannot be monkeyed with. You don't say that about my mother. Don't say that about my mother. Well, your mother loved sex. You had 11 children. And if she didn't love sex, she would have told your husband, "Not tonight, sweetheart," you know. And if your husband didn't love sex, he wouldn't have been over there creating with your mom 11 children, you know? Well, but they're not really sexual people. We have these images, we have these icons of our parents and what role we think they should play and what we should think they should do. And not that sex is one thing or another, but it's just something that's current in our thinking these days, and more current today than perhaps it's always been there. we cannot say anything like that. It's always been there, but it is just that it's more outwardly addressed to today. Okay, now, we have an icon that our country is the greatest country in the world. And that's what we should have. We should believe that our country is the greatest country in the world. And it is the greatest country in the world. And every other country where the Frenchmen live is the greatest country in the world, and the Germans live, the greatest country in the world, and the Swiss, the greatest country in the world. Everybody thinks their country is the greatest country in the world. Now, why do they think their country is the greatest country? They know they've got faults. They know that their country has not done things as they should do. They know they have little Achilles heels in every one of the countries, you know, including even America. My goodness, you know. But the thing is, those things are there. I look at people as I go around the world, and I see them in their various countries, and I say to them, "Would you like to come to America?" "Oh yeah, sure. Love to come and visit." "You don't want to come be an American citizen?" "No, I like my country." They like their countries. They really want to stay there. They would like to see their countries having many of the freedoms and many of the facilities that America has, but they don't want to leave their country. No matter whether it's a third world country or whether it's a first world country or whatever it may be, they don't want to leave it. And they don't want to leave it because they love it there. Their family is there, their home is there, their life is there. And they've walked down that street before. And it has memories for them and has joy. And of course, they'll build memories and joy in new places too, wherever they choose to go or happen to go. And in those memories, we sort of change our icons a little bit. But in truth, I say, Ellen, where is your land of your birth? My fatherland is Germany. And she was born in Germany. She was born in Germany, and that's her fatherland. That's her motherland, her fatherland. That's the land where she was born. Now, her son and her daughter were born in Switzerland. And so you say to them, where were you born? We were born in Switzerland. What do you think is the greatest country in the world? Germany? No. That's mother's country. You know? But our country is Switzerland. The greatest country in the world is Switzerland. That's their icon. And see, with this creation of this icon, as we do, we build a beautiful, not a wall, so to speak, but we build a beautiful facade, a beautiful covering, a beautiful picture of what our country is. Whenever Diego and Mariella think about Switzerland, they think, wow, what a great country. They don't even think of going to Italy next door except to go shopping, you know. They don't think of going to Greece or Spain or Germany or Portugal or any place else like that except to visit. That's just part of their tour. And it's like, Herb, that's me. Where were you born? Milwaukee, Wisconsin. What's the greatest place in the world? Well, Milwaukee is a great city. Yeah. And it's a beer city. That's where all the beers are made and all that kind of stuff and this and that and the other. Well, Milwaukee was Milwaukee, you know. Now, what about your mother? Where was she born? She was born in Jamestown, Janesville, you know. It's a little town outside of Milwaukee. And did she think that was the greatest place in the world? Yeah. She was born on a farm, and she had horses and cows and all that kind of stuff. And she worked in a movie theater playing the piano or the organ for the background of the silent movies. And she did all sorts of interesting things. And my dad met her where?
In the ice cream store.
Mother worked as a lady selling ice cream in the ice cream store. And Dad met her there. And, you know, that it seems so unromantic. But every place is romantic wherever you meet the person that turns you on, that makes your life quite special. Now, is ice cream an icon in my mother's mind? I'm sure. Is it in my father's mind? I'm sure, you know. And is Milwaukee an icon in my mind? Well, not so much Milwaukee, Wauwatosa. I was born in Milwaukee, and then before I was even one, we moved to Wauwatosa. In fact, I might have been born in Wauwatosa. I was born in the hospital in Milwaukee, but I think we lived in Wauwatosa. I think already we were there. But that was my hometown, and that was where I lived for, how many years of my life? I was away at school, away in the service and so forth, but about 27 years, you know, there. And so, it was my home until my parents sold it. And they moved up to northern Wisconsin. They sold my home. They sold my house. They sold my icon. You know? But in my mind, it's always my icon. Well, we all have icons. And we have to be careful. Because if we leave our icons as Europe does, Europe oftentimes leaves their icons without remodeling them, updating them. And when they don't update them, pretty soon they'll fall apart from the inside out or the outside in, whatever they do. And the thing about Czechoslovakia, in Czechoslovakia, they wash their cities, and Germany does that too. They take pressure, the water, and they squirt off the outside of their buildings, and they water them down, because with age they get all this this cruddy looking appearance. And then what comes out? Oftentimes, even the painting that they had done in early days on the outside of the building reappears. I remember when I was in Marienplatz in Germany, in Munich, and they were redoing the buildings there. And they were redoing the churches, and they were going up to the steeples and washing them down and spraying them down and cleaning them off. And you know, they weren't taking off graffiti. They were taking off the weather, the appearances that the weather has left on them. And it made it beautiful. And in Prague, Czechoslovakia, they did a renovation in Prague, yeah, of all their buildings. I was there in 72. And they were renovating their buildings. I couldn't see them. But I could see the ones that they had finished. And the ones they were working on were huge, huge. And they took such pride in renovating these things. And the Sistine Chapel, they renovate those paintings, they renovate those things. And the artworks all over the world, they renovate them and they take care of them. Now, are you able to renovate your icons? When they renovate the paintings of Michelangelo
the Sistine Chapel.
The Sistine Chapel, and so when they renovate those paintings in there, they're not renovating them to the last time they were renovated. They're renovating them past the last time they were renovating them to the original. Because when they renovated them at previous times, they just sort of repainted them sometimes. Where they were losing their luster, they repainted them. And so the present renovation does it with laser and everything else, taking away all of the things that are not the original paint. And when they go back to the original paint, then it's amazing, it's still there. And it's still there, and all it needs is its luster brought back. Well, the icon that we think of the Sistine Chapel is not the Sistine Chapel, because we see a repainted series of paintings. But when they go back to their original, it becomes something quite remarkable, quite amazing. And when you realize the type of paint that Michelangelo used as he painted it, he created the paint himself. And he created the textures himself, and he created the mixtures himself. And he had his staff grinding it and pulverizing it until he got just the right color that he wanted, you know. I mean, that was not just a dime store operation where you go down and buy some paints and fill it in between the lines. It was something amazing. But all these icons that we have, our icons of our fathers or our mothers or our homeland, the icons of our brothers and sisters. Now, I tell a story about one of our students who had difficulty with her father. And I told her, you take some time and go away now and recreate your father. Recreate your father in all the happy memories that you'd like to have had, and all the happy memories you did have, but you forgot because you were so upset. Now start recreating your father as the icon of the universe, as the Mr. Wonderful, Mr. Fantastic, and so on. So she did. It only took a couple hours. And when she came back, she was completely
renewed.
She was completely renovated. She was completely looking at her father as he really was, not as he appeared to be. not as the angry man who had problems and the angry man who had this and that in his heart, but as the real man who was deep, sincere, delightful, charming, and wonderful. Now, we can all do that. We can all take our icons and give them, not a whitewash job, but we can give them a renovation. We can go over them, and surely your father wasn't mad at you all the time. Your father wasn't angry all the time. Your father wasn't evil all the time. What was he doing when he wasn't being evil? He's being good. Well, what was he doing when he's being good? Well, he was thoughtful and he was loving and he liked to play ball with us. He liked to do this. He liked to do that. He liked to do these things here. Oh, he did have some redeeming qualities. How about that? When we look for them, we find them. Just like in the movies, when you look for the redeeming qualities in a movie, they may be hard to find, but if you look deep enough, you'll find them. And so, this is what we want to do with our icons. Our icons have been ours from day one, and we have just let them push us around. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. I was reading in the National Geographic this issue, and they're reading, talking about Bosnia and the Serbs and Yugoslavia and so forth, and how it's made over into all of these different ethnic groups that are fighting with each other and arguing with each other. This is our homeland. This is our right. This is our... And they have nothing. They have bombed out homes. They have big graveyards, and they have all sorts of unhappiness, and they're angry at their neighbor, virtually. And they're angry at this. And... Hey, that's okay. That's okay. The families will grow up. The kids will like each other and not like each other. They'll do whatever is coming. And these icons that they have, they will keep them. And then one day, somebody will come along and say to them, "Hey, what is this that you have here?" And they say, "That's my icon. That's my belief." Well, let's look at that. And then they look at that with you, not with any judgment, right or wrong. And as they look at it, they begin to take their lasers and etch it out, take off the coverings that centuries have put on it, and get back to the original purity and integrity within the Serbs, within the Bosnians, within the Yugoslavian nations there, within those various cultures that are all blending together. And what will they find? What will they find? They'll find an original goodness there, original purity, that is so beautiful. Now, we're spending billions of dollars, millions of dollars, perhaps billions, on renovating the Sistine Chapel. And that's just seen by a very limited number of people, but it is an icon. And they're renovating many other things. They're renovating Milan. They're renovating many of the buildings in Milan. They're renovating the buildings in France, you know, the various castles, and they're renovating them in Germany. And now, who's going to start it? Who's going to start renovating the people on Earth to remove them back to their original purity and integrity? Not to take away anything, but just to go back to your original purity. Johnny, you're coming to the table looking like that? Johnny, is that you under all that dirt? Johnny, you go to the bathroom and you wash your face and your hands, and then you come and have dinner with us. I really like to see who I'm looking at when I'm having dinner. Now, you go, "I'm not that bad." "You're bad enough." So Johnny goes into the bathroom, makes a lot of noise, makes a lot of mess, and he gets a little water on his face, and he takes a towel and wipes it off and gets it off, you know, and gets the towel all full of dirt, not sinking. And he makes a big mess, but he comes back with his palms of his hands and his face sort of washed. And his mother said, "What a renovation. What a wonderful change. You look marvelous. You look so handsome. I'm so proud of you." And let it alone, you know. And then the next time Johnny comes to the table, he may wash up a little more and praise the beauty of him. And the next time he comes, praise the beauty more. So it is with these cultures with these, the Islam, the Israeli peoples, with the Arab peoples, with the people who are always fighting with each other, with the people who are always on edge with each other. We, little by little, take our lasers and clean them up. Take away that outer facade of unhappiness and let be revealed the inner reality of their original purity and integrity. What a wonderful facelifting that would be. What a wonderful lifting. Just like Johnny. Johnny, where are you? Is that on? Are you under there? Go wipe a little bit of that off, you know. So he wipes a little bit off. And the next day, oh, Johnny, you're so handsome, you know. And little by little, using the proper type of laser treatment, Johnny awakens to his original purity and integrity, and he's great. But he's not being forced to it. He's being guided to it. And his mother is praising that which she respects. And she sees in him that which she respects, whether it's very apparent or not. But she sees it in him. Now, can we see in the rest of the world that they are abundant, harmonious, healthy, that the rest of the world is good? Yeah. Interesting, isn't it?
Nice.
We live in a wonderful world, and we have lots of beautiful icons, more than we realize. And as we begin lasering away at these icons, cleansing away, beautiful things happen. They now have the lasers, you know, that they can go right into your gallbladder and break up the gallstones and pulverize them so that they just go out like dust. And no invasion of the body at all. They'll do this with many other areas too. And one day we won't have the gallstones that we have to break up. Because they too are just created by anxiety and anger and the feeling of unhappiness. So, my friends, I now present you, each one, with your personal laser gun of love, returning all things to their original purity and integrity, and how great that is. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you.